Right now, though, very happy to be joined once again by PGA Tour pro Stuart Sink. How you doing, Stuart?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thank you very much for joining us, and I wish we had better circumstances to have you on here. I know you're a diehard Atlanta Thrashers fan. We had you on last season. What are your thoughts on just all the rumors and speculation and innuendo and new developments behind the scenes seemingly every day when it comes to your beloved franchise?
Well, I think I was in denial for forever. Whenever I heard the rumors, I just thought that it'll never happen. But then after speaking to some people on the inside of the organization, it's real possibility, and no one really knows what's going to happen. So it's got me pretty scared.
What are you going to do for your hockey fix now, Stuart, if they skip town?
Well, I just have to watch more of my kids play, I guess. Or go watch the Gwinnett Gladiators, the East Coast Hockey League. They're right up the street.
We had Tom Glavin on the show last week, Stuart, and he's done his best, it seems, you know, to get involved with people, to perhaps round up a group that might be able to keep the team down there. We've heard everybody from Lowell John to Anson Carter being involved in some sort of a purchase. Tommy Glavin, of course, as well. It must be frustrating, I guess, in some respects, and disappointing in other respects, to see that nobody down there, at least from the Atlanta standpoint, appears ready to step up and kind of put their money where their mouths are.
Well, actually, I think it starts way before that. It's disappointing and frustrating that the city of Atlanta didn't step up and put their money where their mouths were when we're talking about buying tickets and attending games. That's what's disappointing the most to me, is that, you know, we get down there and bust our butts to get there to the start of the game, and then, you know, more than half the crowd's not even there until near the end of the first period. You know, what does that tell the team? I mean, are they going to play hard every night for fans that don't even show up until there's 5 minutes left in the first period? But that's disappointing to me. Now, the ownership thing is a big business decision that is complicated that I don't even understand the way all that works. So I can't really speak to that, but it is disappointing to me to see the fans just continually, you know, be nonchalant about the game and not support the team. And, you know, if it's your team, you support them whether they win or they lose. And they haven't been very successful, but it's still been disappointing.
Yeah, and their defense, I guess, when you have, what, one playoff appearance in the last 11 years or so, certainly there's a feeling of apathy that might be there. And, you know, Stuart, you talked about the ownership situation. You're not really sure about it. I had heard that there were three different ownership groups that were a part of it based out of Boston, Washington, Atlanta. We have seen what the face of a franchise can do with Jeffrey Vinnick taking over the Tampa Bay Lightning. As you know, he hired Steve Yzerman, who hired Guy Boucher and people like that to come in to get that thing turned around on the right track for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It can happen that quickly, but it's almost like Atlanta has been without a face of the franchise for quite some time, Stuart.
Yeah, you're right about that, and unfortunately, I think for the Thrashers, the closest thing we had to the face of the franchise was starting with our number one pick in history of the franchise, Patrick Stefan, who probably turned out to be one of the biggest busts in draft history, and then moving on to Ilya Kovalchuk, who was great for a long time, and then it turned into an ugly deal when he left. Marian Hossa, same thing. The guys didn't want to stay there, and it just served to give the team black eye after black eye.
You know, you play one of the great individual sports, one of the toughest individual sports. What is it about hockey, the team sport, that really appeals to you, Stuart?
You know, I think one of the things that appeals to me most about hockey is that I've never played it, and I just appreciate how hard these guys work day in, day out. It's just astonishing to me. My kids play, so I know the game real well, but I've never played it. It's just something that is so foreign to me, yet I feel like I know it really well. It's fun to watch. I can appreciate the athleticism that goes on out there. You know, seeing the lanes and the puck, the way the motion is with 10 players on the ice, 10 skaters on the ice. It's just, to me, it combines every element of athleticism, and it's to me, they're the best athletes in all sports.
How'd you like to be lining up a little 9-foot putt and hear some guy 240 pounds coming running behind you that's just going to nail you as you take the putt?
Well, at least I'd be thinking about nailing him back. You know, in golf, you know, we don't have any defense. You play your own offense, and that's it. And the hockey just has so many different moving parts. And it's just, I've been impressed with it since I first started getting into the game back in the 90s.
It was funny. I was watching the Golf Channel early this morning and watching their morning show talk about Happy Gilmore in terms of you know, favorite characters and things like that. And I guess that's the closest connection we've ever had, Stuart, between hockey and golf, right?
I guess so. It exists in the land of fiction, but I think all golfers and hockey fans alike pretty much love Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, no question. It's a real cult classic. Now, you had a T19 at the Players. Tell us about your golf season to this point and where you think your game's at.
I think it's on an upward trend. I went through a change at the end of last year, changed coaches, wanted to really set myself up for what I consider to be the most important part of my career. You know, I'm 37, about to be 38 this week, and this is a time when golfers can really go either way. You can either really disappear into the sunset and become irrelevant, or you can really make hay and be, you know, at the best you've ever been in your career. And I definitely don't want to disappear yet. So I wanted to make some changes to get myself better, and it takes a little time to for those changes to take hold. But, and there's always some other things in my game I need to work on, too, that have just been part of my game forever, like around the greens. You know, I feel like I'm giving up shots to the field around the greens, and I don't want that to happen. But it's something that feels like it's been coming together for a while. You know, I've had a couple good finishes the last 2 weeks where it's been close, and I felt solid. So I'm just going to continue to be patient.
Stuart, while we've got you here, obviously a lot of headlines made when Tiger Woods had to pull out with various injuries from the Players itself. Tell us about what he means to the PGA Tour, and, you know, we're not even sure if he's ever going to get back there, and everybody talked about the majors record. He's trying to track down Jack, and it looked like it was going to be a done deal at one point, but now you wonder with the injuries he's coming up with here in relation to his swing and the pressure that it puts on his knees and all different other body parts. Tell us about Tiger Woods and what he means to the PGA Tour, because he does obviously mean a lot in terms of television ratings and things like that.
Yeah, as far as our business goes, he's still the number one player, the number one piece in the puzzle. And it doesn't matter if he's the number one ranked player in the world and dominant, or if he's the number eight player like he is right now, and he's struggling at home with a Achilles, calf, knee, whatever kind of injury it is. It doesn't matter. He's still moving the needle the most. I mean, he'll still be the number one story this week at Colonial at the Crown Plaza, and he's not even here. He's in his couch, and he's the number one story. The tour needs Tiger Woods to be out here playing, to be competitive, to be winning. But you know what? It's also been a good thing for our exposure to golf that he's been struggling, because it really puts into light how well he played and how dominant he was and how astonishing that was for that stretch of time.
Stuart, I know one of the great things about being a member of the Atlanta Thrashers is that on your off days, you get to do a little bit of golf. Have you ever golfed with any of the Thrashers? I understand Scott Mellenby and Mark Savard were both pretty good golfers.
They were, and they're good friends of mine, too. Those guys were who I was the closest to during the years, you know, while those guys lived in Atlanta. They lived in my neighborhood, and our kids, my son was good friends with Mellenby's daughter. And I played probably more golf with Mark Savard than I did with anybody else in town while he was a Thrasher, and he played great. Really good player. Fun to play with. He caddied for me at the John Deere 1 year in 2006, I think it was, or five. So good guy, good friend, and I hate to see those guys leave. It's like a curse I feel like I have. Every time I get close to one of the players, they get traded or shipped off or become an unrestricted free agent or something like that, and they're gone just like that. So it's hard to get close with them, but I enjoy it. You know, I like talking hockey, and those guys like talking golf.
Well, we all hope, of course, that Savvy can resume his career at some point here and get over these head injuries he's had. Hey, Stuart, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you very much for doing this, and we've got our fingers crossed. I know we're Canadian up here, and we want to see a seventh Canadian team. I don't know that we want to see it at the expense of Atlanta, but, of course, a lot of this is out of our hands collectively. I guess enjoy the rest of the PGA Tour season here, and best of luck this week at Colonial.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much for having me on. Always enjoyable.
All right. Thank you very much. Stuart Sink joining us, and a former major winner, of course, at the British Open a couple of years back. And